Thursday, May 11th, 1944. Dearest Kitty, since I've left my entire junk box, including my fountain pen, upstairs and I'm not allowed to disturb the grown-ups during their nap time until 2:30, you'll have to make do with a letter and pencil. I'm terribly busy at the moment, and strange as it may sound, I don't have enough time to get through my pile of work. Shall I tell you briefly what I've got to do? Well then, before tomorrow, I have to finish reading the first volume of a biography of Galileo Galilei, since it has to be returned to the library. I started reading it yesterday and have gotten up to page 220 out of 320 pages, so I'll manage it. Next week, I have to read Palestine at the Crossroads and the second volume of Galilei. Besides that, I finished the first volume of a biography of Emperor Charles V yesterday, and I still have to work out the many genealogical charts I've collected and the notes I've taken. Next, I have 3 pages of foreign words from my various books, all of which have to be written down, memorized, and read aloud. Number 4, my movie stars are in a terrible disarray and are dying to be straightened out, but since it'll take several days to do that, and Professor Anne is, as she's already said, up to her ears in work, they'll have to put up with the chaos a while longer. Then, there are Theseus, Oedipus, Peleus, Orpheus, Jason, and Hercules all waiting to be untangled, since their various deeds are running crisscross through my mind like multicolored threads in a dress. Myron and Phidias are also urgently in need of attention, or else I'll forget entirely how they fit into the picture. The same applies, for example, to the 7 Years' War and the 9 Years' War. Now I'm getting everything all mixed up. Well, what can you do with a memory like mine? Just imagine how forgetful I'll be when I'm 80. Oh, one more thing, the Bible. How long is it going to take before I come to the story of the bathing Susanna? And what do they mean by Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, there's still so much to find out and learn. And in the meantime, I've left Charlotte of the Palatine in the lurch. You can see, can't you, Kitty, that I'm full to bursting. And now something else. You've known for a long time that my greatest wish is to be a journalist, and later on a famous writer. We'll have to wait and see if these grand illusions, or delusions, will ever come true. But up to now, I've had no lack of topics. In any case, after the war, I'd like to publish a book called The Secret Annex. It remains to be seen whether I'll succeed, but my diary can serve as the basis. I also need to finish Katie's life. I've thought up the rest of the plot. After being cured in the sanatorium, Katie goes back home and continues writing to Hans. It's 1941, and it doesn't take her long to discover Hans's Nazi sympathies. And since Katie is deeply concerned with the plight of the Jews and of her friend Marianne, they begin drifting apart. They meet and get back together, but break up when Hans takes up with another girl. Katie is shattered, and because she wants to have a good job, she studies nursing. After graduation, she accepts a position, at the urging of her father's friends, as a nurse in a TB sanatorium in Switzerland. During her first vacation, she goes to Lake Como, where she runs into Hans. He tells her that 2 years earlier, he'd married Katie's successor, but that his wife took her life in a fit of depression. Now that he's seen his little Katie again, he realizes how much he loves her and once more asks for her hand in marriage. Katie refuses, even though, in spite of herself, she loves him as much as ever, but her pride holds her back. Hans goes away, and years later, Katie learns that he's wound up in England, where he's struggling with ill health. When she's 27, Katie marries a well-to-do man from the country named Simon. She grows to love him, but not as much as Hans. She has 2 daughters and a son, Lillian, Judith, and Nico. She and Simon are happy together, but Hans is always in the back of her mind until one night she dreams of him and says farewell. It's not sentimental nonsense. It's based on the story of father's life. Yours, Anne M. Frank. Saturday, May 13th, 1944. My dearest Kitty, yesterday was father's birthday, father and mother's 19th wedding anniversary, a day without the cleaning lady, And the sun was shining as it's never shone before in 1944. Our chestnut tree is in full bloom. It's covered with leaves and is even more beautiful than last year. Father received a biography of Linnaeus from Mr. Kleiman, a book on nature from Mr. Kugler, The Canals of Amsterdam from Dussel, a huge box from the Van Dans, wrapped so beautifully it might have been done by a professional, containing 3 eggs, a bottle of beer, a jar of yogurt, and a green tie. It made our jar of molasses seem rather paltry. My roses smelled wonderful compared to Meep and Bep's red carnations. He was thoroughly spoiled. 50 petits fours arrived from Simon's bakery. Delicious. Father also treated us to spice cake, the men to beer, and the ladies to yogurt. Everything was scrumptious. Yours, Anne M. Frank.